Welcome to Heathen and the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. I'm Shay.
My name is Merlin.
And today we are on a mundane Monday.
Yeah.
So we are going to just kind of be talking about really, I guess, entrepreneurship and family, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Those two things go hand in hand in our lives. And I know a lot of our listeners and people that we know are very interested in, you know, what it's like to work for yourself or what it's like to be a small business owner or an entrepreneur and, you know, how to get started. What is that like with a family?
We also have a lot of followers, or quite a few followers, that are entrepreneurs with families.
Like, yeah.
There's a few people.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so this will be a relatable episode on how to balance owning and running a small business and having a family.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what this is about today. So,
how do you get started? Just to go with the first question. How do you get started?
How do you get started? Okay. Well, as cliche, I guess, as that sounds, right, is just to start.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely did not have a game plan or anything when I started doing small business. It was really just kind of a spur of the moment idea. I believe that the best way to achieve anything really is by doing. You're never going to get anywhere if you never do anything. To achieve those goals, we can talk, we can plan, which is something that we've both had, like, in our relationship, we've talked about a lot. Is there's the planning period, the talking period, right? But the length of how long you want those things to transpire is really up to you.
Yeah.
And then going past that is going to be, you know, in the action stage. So I feel like I started just with an idea. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I said, hey, you know, what if I started a business where I made jewelry and I made, like, handmade goods, because I am creative and I do like to make things. And I basically just went, okay, like, how can I do that? You know, planned it out. And then I said, okay, how can I do that? You know, can I start with, you know, just some beads and wire and pliers, you know, like, is that the way to go? And honestly, that's kind of what I did. I just said, you know, if I start making something, anything, something tangible, somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just how it goes.
Because as much as your business has changed over the last almost 4 years, yeah, definitely. Like, I would say there needs to be more doing than planning. Like, take something that you're good at, something that you're comfortable, like, mass producing or something like that, and just, like, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Because you started out, like, making jewelry and resin art. And that was it for a while. And you don't do any of that at all. But that was your, that was, like, your,
that was my start.
Yeah, that was where you got your foothold.
I enjoyed doing jewelry. And that's kind of another part of starting as well, is becoming comfortable with, making adjustments to any parts that you're in, right? If you start with saying you want to do one particular thing or you want to change one particular thing, that's okay. Like, it's okay to make changes. It's okay to, rebrand and change things. So that's, I mean, it's okay to start and not like what you started with. And you can always still change that in the future if you find something that you enjoy more.
I like to think of, like, a business is kind of like it's a entity of its own. Like, it's almost its own person. And just like any other person, like, you need, there needs to be evolution and change and kind of filling out to see what that entity's ideals are and, like, the, like, its plans going forward. So treat it like it's, like, an extension of yourself. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a really great, that's a really great way to say that. Good advice.
And there's nothing wrong with deciding you don't want to do something anymore and going in a completely different route.
Like, yeah, absolutely. I feel like my business is not far off from where I started, but it is different. And that's okay because it fits
me. Well, you fine-tuned it and you fine-tuned it, and you've honed it to be more you.
Yeah.
What are some things that you think people need to know if they're thinking about starting a small business or, you know, doing something entrepreneurial?
Okay. Well, you know, do your research. And I know a lot of people will say that, but that sounds really overwhelming. Like, oh, do your research. Mm-hmm. I always say I'm that person who I wish that I could just ask someone. But since I've never been able to find anyone, I had to learn these things myself. And so what you're going to know what you need to know for the business world is that you will find the community of people that are nice and that are supportive and that are there to be like a team of people that you can trust and ask questions to, or just relate to when the time comes. But also be keeping in mind that there are those people who also don't want to tell you anything. They want to keep everything to themselves because they think that they're successful and they don't want to share their secrets of success.
That is,
you will run into those kind of people that just kind of don't tell you anything, even if it's not a secret, even if I would say it's not a key to success. Yeah. There's people that will just keep things to themselves because they would rather not share that information, or they think that they're going to give away their secrets or something.
Yeah. And like, if your product is good enough, there's nothing wrong with helping people. There's something that I see with other business owners and like maybe mentors of the past that wound up being shitty people.
Yeah.
They didn't have that good of a product.
Right. It's like
they were trying to hide trade secrets, but it's like, dude, you like,
right. It's like either you're not product, bringing anything to the table or there's something lackluster there and you want my shine.
Yeah.
And so you have to just be very cautious of the people that you try to consult and talk to in the business world.
Because if somebody has a good product and is a good mind to be picking, they're going to realize that their flame's not going to burn out by helping you a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Like people will, the people in your life, I want to say person, but the people in your life that you run into are going to become the person or people that you can trust.
Yeah.
And ask those questions too. I feel like that was one of those things, like in my first couple of years of business, I didn't have a community really I could just ask questions to or talk to or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I really just had to learn a lot on my own. Yeah. And I felt like when I did try to consult with other people, I never knew anyone who was really doing anything that I was doing. And if I did, they were looking at me as competition, not as a friend or not as a person that they could, you know. So those are things that you also, you know, you run into as well. Another thing is keeping in mind your approach of business. Yeah. I think a lot of people go into business thinking that if you just do one thing or if you focus on many things, you're going to be fine. And it's not necessarily like that.
Mm-hmm.
A key thing to know is that when you're choosing the products and the material and things that you are going to be working on, do what is going to be lucrative for you and what is actually going to be beneficial for you, but don't overdo all of the other things that won't, you know, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And just wrap it up.
Yeah.
I had to learn that, you know, at one point I was making like 20, 30 different types of products.
Yeah.
I had to scale it down and I had to say, listen, this is too many things. I wanted to offer a lot of things because I figured, well, if I have 20, 30 products, there has to be at least one thing for any person. If they come to my website, they're going to be like, yeah, I'll buy that. Now, here's the thing though, that doesn't automatically mean you're going to make sales. You're just making it hard on yourself because what if you get, you know, a order for one thing, an order for another thing, an order for another thing. And now you've got 10 orders, 10 different things to make, 10 different, supply list. That is really hard to do. So I had to scale my business down and focus on key things that were actually going to be beneficial to my revenue.
Yeah, because like right before we moved to Colorado, you were still doing everything like jewelry, herbal stuff, resin stuff. Like you were doing friggin' everything. And like that's a conversation we had because like for a little bit, you were contemplating like shutting the business down.
Yeah.
Completely shutting it down. And I was like, no, like you have things that do sell a lot because you were selling like a lot of your teas and like some of your herbal stuff at that time. And that was starting to pick up. I was like, what you needed to do is maybe drop the resin, maybe do less jewelry mm-hmm. and concentrate on your herbal stuff. And that was a huge, like, I mean, moving to Colorado was a huge one too, because it's just a more like-minded energy here with the customer basis, I guess.
Right. So that kind of goes into our third question, yeah. Pros and cons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So really, here's a pro or here's a con, I think, that did turn into a pro, right? At the time, one of my cons was that my business was very heavily pushed towards the metaphysical realm. And yeah. I lived in a place that metaphysical things were not being seen. I lived in a community of a lot of Christians, a lot of people that were conservative, a lot of people that were not looking for the products I was making, which
especially
then
if
only
they found out, you know,
wasn't Christian, yeah. Or that I wasn't conservative or anything like that. So then that kind of just, you know, throws it for a loop. But at the time, that was a con. It slowed down my process because all of my sales had to come from online. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go really do anything like in person very often because there was only like one or two events every once in a while that were even of like metaphysical or like what I would call like alternative.
Yeah, because, or holistic or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, like, you know, sometimes you can go to, like, the Renaissance Fair and you find random things like that, like crystals and things. So I just figured at the time, that was a con. Now, moving to Colorado became a pro because moving here, we moved to a more open-minded area, even though more people are, I would say more people are liberal here.
Yeah, it's still conservative,
but we have
in,
more liberal people.
It's an open-minded conservative.
You've got a good mix.
View here. Yeah,
you've like, got a good mix. You can find a good mix of everyone.
Even the Christians here, or like the conservative people here, are pretty.
They're still pretty open
to other ideas. Yeah. They're not flinching as hard as they did in Oklahoma.
So I just feel like moving here became a con or a pro because it allowed for me to push my business a little bit harder. I had to really become more savvy on how to make the business work, which is why I ended up rebranding. When I moved here, I ended up changing my business from what it was to what it is now. And then that was like the snowball that kept rolling. Because once I kind of got that, I realized, okay, now that I'm here, I can use my resources to figure it out, like figure out what it is that I can do to make money and to be lucrative in business while also, you know, being home with my family, being present. Because that's something that was really important to me. That was another thing to my pro list, was that being an entrepreneur for me was being able to be present for my family at all times. Yeah. I am very much, even though I'm a very busy person and I'm always working, which is crazy, I am always with my family too. Yeah. I'm always here making sure that, you know, everyone has what they need, that everyone is taken care of. And even though I am tired and very weared out, that is what I wanted for myself. I wanted to be that person who could be present in my family, but also still be able to provide too. And I am juggling both, which is also a con because I do work a lot. I am really tired. I don't have as much time to do as many fun things as I'd like with my family. And I don't have the energy to do it either, mm-hmm. which is, you know,
yeah,
which can come from any job, really. 9 to 5, you're still working every day and you're going to be tired as hell.
Yeah.
But I feel like I work overtime. I feel like I work more than a 9 to 5. I work like a 9 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 10 to 10, like a 5 to 11 p.m. is like a 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. is my schedule.
Yeah,
I work all those hours and then I go to sleep and I still get up.
Yeah,
and I do it all over again. So that is another con, is just how much time it takes to be an entrepreneur. If you don't have the money to support people helping you in your journey, you will be the manager, the content writer, the social content media guy. You're going to be the packager, the shipper. You're going to be the maker, the creator. Yeah. I do everything. All the parts, even though I do have my friends and family help me a lot. I do a lot of it on my own.
That because, is something I would say you're going to do a lot of work. I mean, any new business owner, any entrepreneur, mm-hmm. if you're starting a business, you're not going to have a lot of help.
Right.
So prepare to be working a lot. Like, it's going to be
busy,
labor intensive.
Very, very busy, because you're literally to spend time on your own to not be an employee of someone else means that you are sacrificing your time to be your own boss.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I get to go to coffee and lunch and anywhere at any time of the day, whenever I want. I could take a nap whenever I want. I can do whatever I want when I want, but I also have to work, and I have to work a lot in order to support that, because I'm the person making my income. If I don't work, I don't make any money.
Yeah.
Another con to the entrepreneurial life, and then we're going to try to move on to the next question, because I want to also put a couple more pros in there and then move on. But another con real quick is that just be aware that it is going to be lonely. You're going to lose a lot of friends and family, mm-hmm. A lot of people who are not going to understand what you're doing, nor will they support it, nor will you feel supported. All those things. If you're lucky to get that kind of support system in what you're doing, then like, that is awesome, because I wish that I had that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people in my life that I am just now meeting that are very supportive of me, but my own friends and family that I, have had long years of records with are usually the people who are not buying from me, nor are they really showing me any kind of recognition.
I would say our families, aside from your mother, have been the least supportive people in this whole project.
Yeah.
Like
they every once in a while pop up maybe here and there and say, congrats. I see you're doing that. That's awesome. But I think more people don't realize that all it takes is just a conversation. Like, for you to even call and just ask me how I'm doing and what my life is like is more important to me than anything. You don't have to give me your money. You don't even have to give me a share. Totally. You don't even have to give me a like, but just giving me a time and knowing that anyone cares.
Totally.
Is really important. And I feel like that's going to be something that you have to combat. You have to have a good mental health.
Totally.
To know that you have a positive system within yourself too.
You have to be able to validate yourself. Yes. Because you can't depend on other people to validate.
Absolutely. You have to be able to congratulate your own self.
Absolutely.
And I'm still learning how to do that a lot.
There's nothing wrong with tooting your own horn.
Yeah.
Or patting yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Because when it all comes down to it, you're the one that's making this fucking train run. Like,
yes.
So
it has to keep going, even if no one else cares about it.
Yeah.
Because you're making enough money, to support yourself. So that's part of it. But a pro is that you do get to dictate your own time. You do get to make as much money as you want. There is no limit. I can work as many hours or as little hours as I want, and I'll either make the same or less or more.
You also get to dive into your creative, like,
yes,
you've got 100% freedom of like creative license when you're running your own business. Like,
yeah, you can do whatever you want, however you want, and it's going to be your vision.
Yeah.
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 And that's really nice. Like, it's really cool to do something. And like, that's another pro, is just being able to see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, just over the years, being able to see all of the things that we've been able to create together and achieve together have been remarkable.
Especially I love it whenever you, get a review that one of your herbal products is really helped somebody.
Yeah. I get so many good reviews, and that's always the best.
Just knowing that we're taking or that you are taking these raw ingredients from the earth, mixing them into a concoction, and people are like, their health is benefiting from it, or mm-hmm. like just their overall well-being is benefiting from it. That's like a huge morale booster.
Yeah.
And you're the one that like makes all of that stuff, but it like it pumps me up too. Like it's exciting.
Well, whenever, yeah, it's a learning progress. Yeah. It's a learning curve and it's in progress, you know, all mm-hmm. at the same time. Just doing business in general, like don't be discouraged on doing something just because you don't know how to do it. You will learn if you just do your research and do things smart.
It sounds super cliche, but literally everything is on YouTube.
Right. You can really find a lot of things just by like looking it up.
We watched so many videos mm-hmm. and stuff in the beginning of mm-hmm. your business journey.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to, you know.
And speaking of the beginning of your business journey, why did you choose this path?
So I feel like a really big reason, like I feel like a lot of the things that came to it for me was, I was just really bad at working jobs.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
No. If I'm being frank.
We've had that conversation multiple times. Cause like, it'll be like a slow month or something. And Shay will be like, maybe I should just like get a real, like a regular job. And I'm like, we've been through this a million times. Like you'll work for the other job for like a month, maybe a month and a half tops. And then like, you'll call me while I'm at work and be like, I think I'm going to quit today. Be like, okay. Like,
that's like, not how it happens though. You're trying to make it sound like I just up and quit, but I feel like there's things that lead to it.
No, I'm just saying. Either,
okay. Let me say
nine
why.
To five doesn't fit.
I'm going
to
tell you why though.
Who you are.
I know, but I'm going to tell you why. I think a lot of it has to do with, I am a person of communication mm-hmm. and I am a person who appreciates proper authority.
Yeah.
Okay. I do not like to go to work and be told what to do by someone who has no idea what they're doing, yeah. nor do I like going to work and being told how to do things when things are completely in disarray, yeah. nor do I like going to work and doing everyone else's job and getting paid the same wage. No.
There really that is nothing all worse those than things. Being smarter than your boss.
That is all of those things. I'm not saying I'm smarter than anyone. What I'm saying is that I go to work and you literally told me what to do, but I'm looking at everybody else do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And that agitates me.
Oh, me
I don't like to go to work and then just be surrounded by everyone doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm supposed to just, I get in trouble when everybody else is just doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm working harder than everyone else and I get paid the same.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
That was a really big reason why I decided to do this. Like I, for a long time, was working a job that was very flexible where I could pick my own schedule, but I worked overnights and that was really hard. I would be up all night long and then come home and then have to sleep like half of the day. And then, you know, I would be half present and then I'd have to go back to work. So it was just not as lucrative for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like working a 9-to-5 for me just wasn't the right fit because I am more efficient as my own boss. I'm just more efficient yeah. as my own worker. I make more money being in charge of myself than working for someone else. And that was the reason why
yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Like it took me a minute to know that. It's not like this just happened overnight. The first couple of years I was making really no money. I was making money here and there. And then anything I made, I was putting back into the business constantly, mm-hmm. back into the business. And I still do that. But now the difference is that
there's more take home now.
There is more passive income coming yes. in than there is just money that's getting me by coming in.
Yeah.
And that takes time to do. But for what it is, I chose it because I really wanted to raise my daughter. I wanted to be in her life. I was raised by a single mom. And I loved her to death, but she worked a lot and I didn't see her very often.
Your mom still works a lot.
She still works a lot, but now she has a lot of days off. So I get yeah. to see her a lot. But when I was younger, I didn't see my mom very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be that constant person in my daughter's life, knowing that if someone's getting called, it's me. If someone's showing up, it's me.
Yeah.
If she needs something, it's me. That was something I wanted.
Yeah. I will say, as parents, you being self-employed has helped us a lot in situations that if we were both working, 9-to-5ers, yeah, it would, one of us would have gotten fired or something already, mm-hmm, because our daughter.
Well, that has happened to me.
Yeah.
I have worked jobs.
We've had,
actually, when I was pregnant, remember, yeah, I was pregnant going to appointments.
Well, I was going to say,
that wasn't even my fault, but I was,
yeah,
I had, at the time, I was a lot heavier, a lot more unhealthy than I am now, which contributed to my bad health at the time. And being pregnant didn't really help either. Mm-hmm. And then going to appointments, I had to go weekly, mm-hmm, when I was pregnant, like weekly, even from the start. And my job, because, you know, a lot of states at the time, we lived in Oklahoma, but a lot of states have a right to will or whatever.
It's called the right to work.
A right to work. That's what it is. So it
basically means they can fire you.
They can fire you anytime for any reason, whatever they could come up with, and it doesn't matter. And they pretty much said, well, you're just not coming to work as often, and it's a problem.
It's capitalist, you know, bullshit.
You're basically just not fit for this job right now. And it's because I came in, what, 1 or 2 hours late on one day of the week because I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then I knew right then that this was going to be an issue. So from then on out, the entire time I was pregnant, we were thinking of what we were going to do when the baby came. And I was working a regular job even then when I was pregnant, but we were still trying to figure out what we would do when the baby came. And then right before she came, I went on bed rest for like a week and a half, just, yeah, to, because my blood pressure kept raising.
Yeah.
And then I had preeclampsia.
Yeah.
But either way, after she was born, I was home for those 6 weeks and I went back to work, and my mom, and then how we did it for the first couple of months while she was very little was everyone's days off were arranged so that we could all watch her on our days off.
Yeah, we had to puzzle piece our days, right, off.
And that's no way to live. Like, no. You don't want to live your days off,
especially
as babysitters, because my mom lived with us, but then we also had my aunt coming over. So, mm-hmm, my aunt would come over on Tuesday. My mom would watch her on Monday. I would watch her on Wednesday and Thursday. You watched her on Fridays and weekends. Mm-hmm. And that's how we arranged it for the first, like, 6 to a year, like the whole year, basically, that, mm-hmm, she was born the first year.
Well, not only that, like, it was a shitty schedule, but she also had some medical issues when she was born. When B was first born, we've already told you she had club feet. So we were doing like weekly physical therapy appointments with her for a little while and driving to Shreveport once a month it was like every 2 or 3 weeks for a while. Mm-hmm. We were driving to Shreveport, Louisiana from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, like, I mean, yeah, there was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on that if you, like, regular jobs are,
it's almost like our hectic lifestyle inspired you a little bit to start your own business, because 9-to-5 wasn't working.
Well, I always knew I wanted to do something for myself. I just didn't know what. And then really, like I said, it literally just started with a start. And now a bag of beads and some wire, and I just figured out, like, okay, this is how we start. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen.
And now that we've attained that freedom, at least mostly from the 9-to-5 for you, like, what were some sacrifices that you had to make to make that happen?
Well, like I said, yeah, man, like, I, for a while, like, I was sacrificing a lot of sleep. Still am, but, mm-hmm, I do have a better sleep now than I did. I was doing a lot of just working night shift, working my own job, and then being a mom during the day. I was doing all three.
Yeah.
Because I was still working part-time for the first 2 years of the business, mm-hmm, or 2.5, basically. 3, if you want to say. I've only really been independent the last year. So the first 3 years, I always worked a part-time job so I could support my business. I was putting money from my job into the business so that it would actually still run, because I still have business fees, you know, website fees and shipping fees and boxing fees and all of the supply fees. Mm-hmm. Like, even if no one's buying anything, guess what? People still want to see new things, and I still have to make new things, even if I didn't sell any of my old things.
Yeah.
And so that is the part of running a business, is constantly turning over.
I would say your social life took a hit too, because
we
don't have many of the friends that we had before,
right?
Because a lot of them were just not conducive to self-growth in any way.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like we still have a lot of our same friends that are super awesome, and they've always been very supportive.
But we
and,
did shed quite a few of them.
Yeah, but we a lot of our friends that are no longer friends with us, we definitely, we just kind of lost touch with a lot of people because, I mean, people work regular jobs, right? And for me, you know, I love staying home on the weekends, and everyone loves getting out on the weekends. I'm the opposite. Mm-hmm. My weekends are usually when I'm home because my daughter is going to school, you know, Monday through Friday. And those are usually the days that I have to do things. So I get out, I have coffee, I have lunch, I go to dinner, I do all the stuff because I usually have more free time to work around while she's at school. And then on the weekends, she's at home. I love staying home because I get to relax and calm myself, do things that I need to do at the house because I don't have to take her to school. Most people are like, oh, let's get out. Let's go and have fun. And I'm usually like, no, I want to just sleep. Sundays are my sleep day.
Yeah, and I've got the mindset that people are either supportive or they're in the way. And sometimes it's best to just cut it off at the roots.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone is in the way per se, but you know, I just feel like, right, it's just a lot to explain to people that don't get your small business life. Mm-hmm. And then when you do try to talk to people about small business life, like I could literally be complaining and my friends go, well, at least you have a small business. It's like, oh my God, can't you just let me be angry about it for once? Like, doing small business, a lot of people find it to be a luxury. This is hard work. I work probably twice as much as a person who works a regular job.
I mean, you literally work from the time that you...
And I'm not saying that to be like, I'm, you know, better than anyone or I work harder than you. I am not saying that. What I am saying is that people love to discredit me. Tell me I'm not working hard just because I get to work for myself.
Most of those people are only working, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day.
Right.
Depending on what they're doing.
You get to leave your job when you go home.
Literally, just to give like a breakdown of your average weekday, you get up at around like 6 o'clock in the morning, typically.
Yeah.
Typically. You get be around and ready for school. If I'm going to work and you've got stuff to do, you take me to work before you take B to school. Then you come back, get B breakfast, take her to school. And then as soon as you get home, you literally work from whatever time that you get home till about 10 or 11 at night. And that is your average work day.
And include me picking you all up in that schedule.
Yeah. Because
I have to pause to go pick her up from school, pick you up from work, and then get back home and then do dinner and then do work. More work.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. The people that are saying, like, it's a... Because, I mean, it is a luxury in some ways. Like, it is...
In some ways.
There are benefits, but...
Yeah.
You work...
Nonstop.
More hours
mm-hmm.
than they could even contemplate.
Yeah, I work nonstop.
Yeah.
What sucks, and I'll add this, like, back up to my con list. I didn't say this before, but I'm going to say it now. You get to leave your work when you go home. From our job.
Mm-hmm.
When you go home, you have a choice to leave that bullcrap there. You don't have to take it home with you. You don't have to bring your customers or any of that crap home. When I come home, my phone, my computer, everything is here. My phone doesn't stop ringing from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. People in small business, especially your customers, they do not care that it is 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. They will call or email or text you to ask a question, even if it's in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've only talked about on this one so far. We've only talked about your herbal business.
I do have other. I do have two. I do have another business.
Shay also builds websites for people and runs websites for people. And there's been
and
times,
social media content and that kind of thing.
But
where
I was getting, there has been times when you're building a website for a new customer that you've literally stayed up all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have gotten up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready for work, and you're still tapping away at your computer building somebody's website, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing right now? Like, and you're working. Like,
mm-hmm.
that happens a lot.
Or when I've done like shows, vending shows, and we've stayed up all night doing product
to
get ready for the next day.
That first big show we went to
in Denver.
In Denver.
Oh man.
We were up till
we did 3 days
close to four. close to 4 o'clock in the morning the night before, just making sure we had everything and making extra stuff. And
yeah.
On top of that, we were at your studio, the studio that you had at the time, for like 3 days before that, prepping. Like,
yeah.
That was a good show, though. That was fun.
Yeah, but a lot of my shows go like that. I have to prep a lot of product.
Yeah.
And buy a lot of product and then put into that and then put it all in a car and take it somewhere and unpack. And so I haven't really been doing any shows yet this year, but I am planning to do some. And, and that is, you know, that is something else. You know, there's a lot of different parts and pieces that go to this lifestyle.
Yeah, there are. Is there anything that you wish that you would have known before that you know now?
Like I said, kind of before, like just knowing that you have to be your own biggest cheerleader. Like I would post things for a while and get so upset and kind of even like offended that people just didn't even care. Mm-hmm. That people just, and then they say, well, I just didn't see it. And it's like, okay, but you can see every other post I posted.
Yeah.
I feel like people just choose not to like certain things, and that's okay because that's their choice. But it's like, even if it's a business post and you don't like my product or you don't like what I do, that's my hard earned creativity that I'm putting out there. I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah.
And it feels like rejection when people don't even blink at it, don't even care to say, well, at least that's cool. And then over time, now I've learned I could care less.
Yeah.
I could care less because there are people out there who think that my products are amazing, who think that I have potential to go beyond where I'm at now. And I'm the person taking my time because I'm like, listen, I just don't want to skyrocket and then fail. But my overall inspiration and creativity and fire and drive had to come from myself. Like, that's something I just didn't really know at the beginning. At the beginning, I did it because I wanted to make money. And then that didn't go anywhere. And I almost quit.
Yeah. I would definitely say having thick skin, like you said, like you're going there. Most of the people that you call friends and family are not going to be terribly supportive. Just know that coming out of the gate. And just have a thick skin.
Don't be hurt if you don't see like the closest people, like even your freaking cousins and aunts and uncles or whoever, liking your stuff, because that's okay. It's okay.
You don't need them.
And you don't need that, because guess what? They're only going to buy one or two times from you and that's it. Guess who's going to keep buying from you? Yes. Strangers.
Well, that's exactly what I was getting ready to say next. Most of the people that like praise and buy your product all the time are people that we don't even know. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's where it matters.
Yeah.
Like you will find those people that love your product. So that's something that I wish I had known before. It's just not trying to put all of that responsibility on people, you know, reach out to
out
to your communities.
I'm not even bashing unsupportive people. I'm just saying, like you said, rather than depending on those people, because I mean, they've got their lives too. They've got stuff that they're doing as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, but you need to stoke your own fire, basically. Like,
right.
You need to be building your own fire up inside.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Just get more people in your life that do care. And even if you can't find people right away, you have to believe in yourself and the journey.
Yeah.
That's
one thing I can say about you is you are probably one of the most self-motivated people I've ever met in my life. Like,
I try.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm exhausted by myself. Like, I am actually exhausted by me. Like, I know. Because I'll come up to you and I'll just be like, hey, I've got an idea. And you're like, yeah. I know you've already had like 7 ideas like in the last 7 minutes. And I'm like, I know, but I have another one in here.
And that's something I will say to spouses of entrepreneurs. Like, this video's for you too.
Oh yeah.
Because
you gotta be supportive. You gotta be ready.
I am the cheerleader of this team. Like, I mean, I help out. I help with labeling and I'll fill tea bags and like that kind of stuff. But you're the bulk of the back work, especially right now because my leg's busted.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to be there emotionally for your entrepreneur spouse.
Yeah.
Because
it's nice to have someone
And know that, like...
Hey, I was talking.
Oh, sorry.
It's nice to have someone in your life who can see the things that you're doing and be able to give you that support and give you that praise, because you do tell me a lot, like, how proud you are of me and how great I am doing. Even if I don't always absorb it right away, it does make me feel good to hear it, because I need to hear it from someone.
Yeah. Yeah, and something else for the spouses is... it may seem like your entrepreneurial partner is wound up in the business, but like you are just as big a part of it too, because like especially in the very beginning of it, like my job was funding everything, I guess you would say. So like, it's like two very important pieces. Like you're a team working together. Like,
yeah. And I try to,
nobody's more important than
remind you like, of that like, as yeah, well. Yeah.
You did. Like, 'cause it always felt like, man, I wish I could help more. And you'd always be like, you're literally like, your job is,
I wouldn't be able to do this,
helping this happen. Yes. So that someday you don't have to have a job.
Yeah. And if you are alone and you don't have a support system, I think that's one of our questions, you know, how do you this without a support system? If you don't have one, is, finding a community, where, you know, go online and find other entrepreneurs, find people in your area that are, you know, single moms that have businesses. That is literally how you will find more people like yourself who will be able to help you and support you and even maybe become your family and friends,
totally,
you know, that can really carry you along in the journey of where you want to be, because it takes time to find the right kinds of people that are actually going to be worth, you know, having in your life, really.
Yeah, you've had a lot of people that were just business acquaintances starting out, and then they've turned into, like, full-on
friends,
like a support system.
Yeah, and that's always really cool. Like, I love being able to have, like, people that come to me for business and turn into friends and still value me as a business person and still support my business, not saying like, oh, let's become friends and then I get everything for free or I get discounts or, because I think a lot of people need to know that too, that in your business, you need to also stand your ground and know your value. Don't just give everything away for free. Don't just always give everyone a discount because they're your family or friend. Like, know your worth and ask for it. And if they say, oh, well, that's a little high, say, well, oh, so is that Michael Kors purse that you're wearing.
Yeah.
That nice, you know, jacket that you bought. I don't care. I'm that person who will point it out. I will say, if you can't pay full price for my products, then don't be here.
Something that I think...
Because I don't think I'm asking too much.
I agree 100%. And something that I think has helped you succeed in your business is you also support other small businesses.
Like, absolutely.
Every time we go to any sort of vending event, we wind up spending $200
just
on other people's awesome products.
And you know what? And some of those people never ever buy from me, but you know what? I don't even care.
No,
I love showing other people
support. Spreading that good energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I buy things from people all the time. Even if I'm like, wow, I don't think it's worth that price, I'll still pay it.
Yeah.
And even if I can't afford it right then, best believe that I'm probably trying to figure out how I'm going to purchase it eventually. Like, I try to be supportive, not because I want other people to just like, or not that I'm expecting a return of them to do it for
me. Honestly, it's usually
because
we
do it because I really want other people to know that they are supported.
Yeah. We love their products.
Yes.
And we want them to feel validated.
Absolutely. It's the feeling, it's the golden rule.
Yeah.
I treat people how I would want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
I show people that, that generosity, kindness, and love and support that I would only hope that people would show me.
Totally.
And that's exactly usually how it goes. I show love to people and they show love back. I don't do it because I feel like I'm doing it to get something. I do it because that's my moral. Like, that is how I operate.
You're a very generous
I only want to be generous because I never want anyone to, I never come at any person with ill.
And if you, I mean, no, you don't at all. You're always 100% like genuine and like hospitable and
I try.
If the product is great, then that's a perk.
Like, absolutely. I've bought in things from people many times.
Oh man, like, we've got a friend that sells like cooking spices and stuff.
That
is one of my favorite products.
Yeah, that's our favorite cooking product. So that's like all we use now.
Yeah.
And But either way, you know, it's nice to have people in your life that are there to support you just because they are supportive and they believe in you, not because they want something from you. And those are the kinds of people that we try to be to our fellow small business friends.
You've kind of already answered this, I think. The next question, can you do this without a support system?
Yeah, I already answered that. But you can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just find your system, find a community, find friends, find other small business people, network. Network, and you will be able to do business. Like, even if you don't have anyone starting out, you will find other people that will believe in you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, be smart about how you approach every situation and be open to just meeting others.
Yeah. And don't let not having a support system in the beginning become an excuse, because that's something that I...
Or anyone who wants to discourage you. If you tell someone your business idea and they say, well, that's stupid. Okay, well, you tell them they're stupid.
Yeah, don't let that become an excuse. Let that be fuel to work even harder.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Like, don't allow anyone else's opinion of you to stop you from doing what you want.
Yeah.
Any business can survive if you put the work into it.
Next question, do you think working together as a family will be beneficial or not, or has been beneficial or not?
You know, I think that the way that we have been working now has been beneficial, of course, because we've had a really good balance of just being able to be supportive of each other in the ways that we needed to be. I think going forward, you know, because I know that our game plan in the future is for, obviously, for you to quit your 9-to-5 and then be able to, you know, work with me and do your own thing, because you have stuff that you want to do too. So, you know, it will be a challenge, I think, for you. I think the benefits that you'll get from not working a 9-to-5, all of the freedom and getting to do what you want, will be great, but you're also gonna have a challenge just getting into the groove of us of being self-employed, which is getting over the anxiety, because there's constant anxiety that you're not making money, or that, you know, someone's trying to message you, or that something's not working, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You have to constantly work around that.
No, I know.
You also have to constantly keep yourself motivated, and you like have to, this is literally learning like a whole new muscle. You have to learn all business things without knowing anything about business. And I feel like when you come in fully, it's going to be a little overwhelming, because there's a lot of pieces and a lot of parts, and you like information, but when it comes to doing stuff, if it starts to become overwhelming, I feel like you can tend to shut down. So
yeah,
it could be beneficial because we're a team. I think as a family, I'm going to be there to help you.
Yeah.
And for our family, it's going to be great, because it is a part of what we want as a family. We want to be able to have those months off in the summer together to go and do travel and go do things like, you know, going on road trips or going to the store together and being able to work together. I mean, the thing is that when you're working 9-to-5s, you don't get the summer off.
No.
You don't get to go and just travel and do things just because your children are off.
No.
And so being able to have the same schedule and flexibility and doing things together is going to be like the benefit, but also it's going to be a challenge, because we have to remember that we are working as a team and we're also a family, and we also have to be able to support each other and carry that weight together.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a...
So it'll be a good
muscle to exercise.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely it's really a big shift when you're finally realizing that, wow, like, I'm supporting myself.
Yeah. I think
like
it'll
it's be... really nice to at least, and like I said, we're not bashing 9-to-5s, but we're saying that.
No, that really works for a lot of people.
If that works for you and that is like good for you and your life and your family, then by all means, like, do that. We're saying for us, our lives were so busy starting out the gate that as soon as we became a family and had a child, working 9-to-5 wasn't even an option. I had to start working alternative types of jobs immediately, right away. It was either I was working part times or nighttime.
Especially with Briarlyn having some special needs when she was first.
I mean, she still has the special needs. They still are being attended to at this day. But yes, having a special needs child at the time, like when she was first. firstborn made it really difficult to
it was
have
impossible.
A regular job.
It was impossible for us to both have a full-time.
And at the time, I wasn't even working because I, you know, we were going back and forth every week. So we're just saying to everyone that wants to do entrepreneurial life, if you do have a 9-to-5, is just, you know, make those, take those steps, find what you love, and then literally just start.
Do it.
Even if it's little at first, it grows and grows until your small business is no longer a small business anymore. If you're listening and you are a person who works a 9-to-5 and you love it, and you're listening to our podcast, thank you so much for being here. And just, you know, I hope that you gained something from that. If you ever wanted to, you know what it's like to be an entrepreneur, or even just get a little bit of mindset into that lifestyle. Or if you even have interest in starting a little, you know, part-time gig or something, like, you can do that too. Like, all of those things are optional, because you can work a job and still work your own sideline business too. I did work full time for a while and work my business too. So just know that you can do both.
And that would probably, the last question was going to be closing advice, but I think you just covered that.
Yeah, that is the advice, you know? Yeah. You all are able to do it if you're not alone. You have a support system to start. If you are alone, you can find support systems around you.
Totally.
And if you do work a 9-to-5, you can always start a side gig. If you love your 9-to-5, that is awesome for you. And we always support people who can really make it big in the corporate world, because it is not easy.
There's nothing wrong.
Who are aspiring to start your businesses, keep doing it. Your business will not work if you don't. You're not putting in the work, if you don't get up, if you don't do it, anything, it's not going to go anywhere. I have to remind myself of that every day. I'm not going to make a dollar if I just decide, oh, well, today I'm just tired and I don't want to work. I can't do that.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with starting small.
Absolutely. Just start small.
Just start small. Yeah. Try out some things. See how it works for you, and then let that grow.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. I think that pretty well covered it. That was a good
We are excited that you all are still following along with us. It has been so many weeks. We're on episode 28. I can't believe it. And we are so close to 500 listens. So we just want to say thank you all for being here.
Yeah.
Please find us on Heathen and the Hedge Podcast. And that is on Instagram, Facebook, and you can also find our Linktree, which will get you to our Patreon. And we hope that you all find us, give us your input and your thoughts.
Yeah.
We would love to hear it. This has been Heathen and the Hedge.
Woo! This has been Mundane Monday. Well, it's technically Tuesday, but...
Sorry.
Our internet was down yesterday.
And speaking of that,
do we want to talk to them about maybe...
Yeah, so really quick before we head out of here, we wanted to say that our Mundane Monday will no longer be Mundane Monday anymore. We've decided to switch it up a little bit, and our Mondays are now going to be Murder Mondays.
Yeah.
So we are actually going to be talking about any kind of, you know, murder case, abandoned case, unsolved cases of any victims that we're still, you know, looking for, those kinds of things. And they are probably going to be posted on our Patreon. We have thought about that a lot, and we don't want you all to feel pressured to go to the Patreon. We will still share the information about what we are talking about on our groups and on our Instagrams, if you all still want to check them out.
But
our Patreon is going to be for the listeners who would like to listen, because the information in most of these cases are very explicit.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's not really about getting money. It's more about allowing freedom of
speech without being cut from our platforms, you all.
Yeah.
We really don't want Spotify
or
Apple to get upset with us for all of the things that we usually would have to say when we're talking about a murder case. So if you all are interested in that, we're going to share more information going into next week on next Monday.
Totally.
And we hope that you all will, you know, follow along with it. We hope that you all are okay with that. We just feel like our Mundane Mondays are getting kind of stale. You know, our life isn't as exciting as we'd like it to be, but we do want to bring more content that you all would like to hear. And I know murder was at the top of the list. Yes. So since it's one of my favorite topics and very intriguing topic, I might add, I want to dedicate more of my time to it. And so therefore our Mondays will be on murder cases. If you all would like to check that out, like I said, we'll give you more of that information as the upcoming Monday comes, but we just wanted to go ahead and let you all know that that's going to be changing.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
But don't forget, like, Wednesdays and Fridays
are still,
they're still free. They're still the same. Like, that's all.
You can still find them on all of the platforms. Patreon will have our Mondays, and then Wednesdays and Fridays will have, you know, all of our regular content.
Yeah.
Spotify, Apple, you can find us for our Witchy Wednesdays, our Freaky Fridays, and we will keep uploading just as normal.
Basically, what we're saying is mundane Monday was getting too mundane.
For us.
And we thought that Murder Monday would be a really good way to grow our Patreon. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And that content is really better suited for people that are going to be going into it knowing what they're going to get. We don't want to throw murder on our page all the time because it is very explicit. Because
it's
going to
be a constant trigger
warning. It is a very constant trigger warning, and we don't want that on our regular podcast platform. But if you are interested in listening to murder cases and other topics of mysteries and things like that, then by all means, please check us out on the Patreon platform. We will get you all more information as the week comes up. So yeah, we just wanted to let you all know that.
I think that's going to sum it up for today.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Yeah.
We love you all. Bless it be.
Love you guys.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.